Good morning, Symphony, and welcome to today's devotion. We will be reading through the book of Jude, just one chapter. Verse 1. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe, and the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulge in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. Yet in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. Woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error and perished in Korah's rebellion. These are hidden reefs at your love feasts, as they feast with you without fear, shepherds feeding themselves, waterless clouds swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead uprooted, wild waves of the sea, casting up the foam of their own shame, wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loud-mouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, 'In the last time there will be scoffers, following their own ungodly passions.' It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life, and have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen." Here is some context on this book. The author Jude, or more accurately Judah, is one of Jesus' four brothers alongside Jacob, Joseph, and Simon. In the Gospel of John, we see that not even one of his brothers believed in Jesus. It wasn't until the resurrection that they came to believe and even became key leaders in the early church movement. Judah in particular was a teacher and missionary. We don't know the audience exactly or which church this was written to, but he addresses the letter to those who are called beloved in God and the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. He wishes that mercy, peace, and love be not only given, but multiplied to them. And this is the heart of Jude's message, verse 3. He writes, "I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints." Enduring Word commentary says that the ancient Greek word that translated to contend comes from the athletic world, from the wrestling mat. It is a strengthened form of the word meaning to agonize. Therefore, when we contend, it speaks of this yearning to agonize over something. Judah is saying that as Christians, we must contend for the faith. Why? Well, because there are ungodly teachers among us who pervert the grace of God and deny Jesus. Judah doesn't point out that their teaching is wrong per se, but it's their life and moral compromise that illuminates how wrong their theology and understanding of the gospel truly was. Judah then gives example after example in the scriptures of how these people rely on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious one. They indulge in sexual immorality, are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires, loudmouth boasters, and show favoritism to gain advantage. They cause division, are worldly, and are devoid of the Spirit. They cheapen and take advantage of the grace of God in order to sin. This warning is so important to Judah, and this is why he pleads with the church in this letter to contend earnestly for their faith. So how do we contend earnestly? How do we agonize on the wrestling mat to see the gospel reign true? Judah gives a call to persevere in verses 17 to 23, and he breaks it up into four ways. One, we contend in the faith when we build ourselves up in our most holy faith. We build ourselves up through the word of God, which is the truth, the absolute truth. Two, we contend in the faith by praying in the Holy Spirit, by not just praying for God to give us this or that, but praying for the things that are on God's heart, interceding for the church, the lost, and the nations. Three, we contend in the faith by keeping ourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of Jesus that leads to eternal life. Keeping ourselves in the love of God looks like walking with Him, waiting on Him, and being tethered to Him. And four, we contend in the faith by having mercy on those who doubt, saving others by snatching them out of the fire, and showing mercy with fear. Mercy is a key word here. It's mentioned three times in the last two verses. Being merciful on the lost, sharing and testifying of the good news to bring others to salvation. But it is a mercy not on its own, but it says a mercy with fear, which means we must be very wary of sin. Judas says to even hate the garment stained by the flesh, so to be wise, showing mercy and love, but also with the fear of the Lord. Now, contending earnestly in the faith is an active, ongoing thing. I don't know if you've wrestled before, but when I was younger, I would wrestle around with my younger sister. And if I do absolutely nothing, she'll pin me down immediately. I had to actively be engaged and be alert. Similarly, in our faith, we must be engaged and alert. So let us put away any apathy or I'll do this later kind of thinking, as we are able to contend only through the grace and loving kindness of our God. So today, whether through showing mercy, praying in the Spirit, digging deep in the Word, or keeping ourselves in the love of God, whatever that step might look like for you, let us contend earnestly for our faith today. Let's pray. Jesus, we take time to grieve the brokenness in the world, and we acknowledge that there is deep sin and disobedience that has quenched your Spirit and have perverted your grace. Lord, we contend with the saints and ask for your forgiveness once again. Lord, help our church to be merciful in love and with fear, to stand truly as a city on a hill. Help us to not be like the false teachers that compromise their morals to satisfy their heart's desires, but may we be a people that keep ourselves in your love and exhibit our love for you through faithful obedience. May our lives reflect what we speak and believe in, and we acknowledge that this is impossible to do on our own. So Holy Spirit, we invite you, may you lead and guide us today. We commit this day to you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.